You're listening to Cannabis Business Confidential by Hybrid Marketing Co. Our podcast explores every corner of the cannabis industry with expert guests for a behind-the-scenes look at this rapidly evolving space. From business insights to cultural and community trends, we'll ensure you stay informed and ahead of the curve.
So I'm here to introduce our next panel, which is Transforming Customer Experience Through AI and LLMs. And our moderator is the one and only Jen Lamboy from Hybrid Marketing, one of the coolest people in the cannabis industry in my book. Anyway, I will hand the mic over to Jen to introduce the panel and walk us through this journey.
Okay, I'll just run through this really quickly. I'm Jen Lamboy. I'm the Director of Strategy with Hybrid Marketing Co. Thanks, Kim, for the sweet introduction. We are discussing AI and large language models as it pertains, of course, to this industry. I'm going to run through quick intros really right now, but I also want to say typically the format of these conversations is questions at the end. I just want to make sure that everyone understands what we're talking about. So if we start digging too far into a rabbit hole and you've got a question that's burning, let me know. Raise a hand. We'll grab a mic and get it over to you. I also want to introduce the folks with me. Chris Eggers is the founder and CEO of CC Security Solutions on the far end. There, Andrew Watson, co-founder and CEO of Happy Cabbage Analytics, and then of course Dan Lukey, he's a partner with Halo. So I'm going to have these guys do a quick introduction. Chris, why don't you start? Give us a little bit more on the organization you're representing, and tell me also the relevance of you in this particular conversation.
Sure. Thank you for having me. My name is Chris Eggers. I'm the CEO of CC Security Solutions. We are a one-stop shop for cannabis security. We've evolved significantly over the last couple years from consulting to a low-voltage company doing installations, unarmed guards, armed guards, and we're pioneering the use of drones in the private security space. We are utilizing AI today in several different use cases to increase security coverage, ensure proper coverage of our client sites, and then also provide our clients with data. Given we're already in the room, we've done camera installs, so we're sitting on, you know, a ton of data in the form of video surveillance, and we just continue to push the needle and learn how we can add value to our clients and provide them with information that they need.
Hey everybody, I'm Andrew, CEO of Happy Cabbage Analytics. We build tools for retailers that help them market to the right consumers and stock the right inventory on the shelves, particularly for multi-location folks that have a lot of inventory they need to get on. We use AI a good amount. I have a professional background as a data scientist, so we use it to help craft marketing messages based on consumer segments and previous campaigns that have worked well, and then also to clean up product information and also machine learning stuff to help predict what stock to put on your shelves for a given amount of time to make sure it sells through. So, yeah.
My name is Daniel Lupke. I'm with Halo, which started in Seattle, Washington, with a mission to help anyone get more out of life. Halo has since expanded to Ohio with a full vertical operation. And I'm able to share the perspective of what it's like to use AI tools to conduct marketing in cannabis with really tight budgets, small teams. So I'm looking forward to getting into some of that.
Awesome. Is everyone familiar with large language models? Yes, who isn't? Or I'll just cover it quickly. So if we think about what we're used to using most right now, especially if you're trying to make marketing a little bit more scalable, ChatGPT, right? That falls within the family of a large language model, but it's more than that. Think about something like Siri or a virtual assistant that's leveraging a lot of data coming in and able to actually offer a completed task. So if we think about it in that way, and of course these guys are going to blow out the topic a little bit more, but it's more than what we're typically using. Last time we spoke at this particular event, we talked a lot about AI in terms of operational efficiencies as well. So I'm guessing we're going to cover that a little bit more. But I want to start with Chris. You talked a little bit about the relevance that you're leveraging AI with. Give us some more detail as it pertains to the retail side.
Sure. So given that we have one client that's just coming online, we did the the design of the space. We did the installation of the space. It's our cameras, it's our servers. It's, you know, data that we control, and they trust us to do so. So leveraging and leaning into AI, we can now provide a ton of information to the retailer. We can explain and show how long each customer is at a POS station. We can show heat mapping. Where are people moving within your facility? You know, some of these things are considered analytics, and some of them we really leverage and learn again about how AI can help us sort of interpret the data that's already right in front of us that you're already paying for. One of our clients on a residential apartment complex, we're training a model to understand and detect when multiple mailboxes are open at one time because they're having an issue with mail theft. In a retail cannabis space, we have a client who wants to know and get alerted in real time when two employees enter one door but only one badge is presented. How long do people spend in a break room? Why is this POS station taking longer to fulfill orders? And then now we're learning, and I'm learning from my own panelists here, how we can further leverage that with inventory tracking. Because again, you know, what's unique about where we are is it's the data that we already control that our clients trust us to control. And so we just continue to really be curious about how can we leverage this in a retail space? What questions do you guys want answers to? And how can we provide that to you in real time?
Thanks. I know what we know about consumers is that they are loyal to brands, not necessarily loyal to the dispensaries that they shop at. So, Andrew, when you were talking a little bit more about retail operators maybe leveraging AI, more tools to stock their shelves, can you speak a little bit more?
Yeah, so I always like to couch this and always say the thing about large language models in particular with AI is, so LLMs are very good at text-based tasks, right? So crafting the right marketing message to a consumer audience by just saying, hey, 20% off Jeter, and it writes a good message for that. Or while they're trying to figure out what inventory to put on their shelves, they haven't named the inventory correctly, cleaning that up and fixing it. What AI is very, LLMs are very bad at is any math. They are horrible at math. They do not know that 2 + 2 = 4 categorically. And so what we don't necessarily use AI to do, but more so like machine learning tasks to do, are actually predict how much sales are you going to get at a certain group of products mm-hmm. over the next 14 days, should you stock those products or not. Oftentimes we kind of couch all that together as AI, but I always like to be very specific in terms of, you know, where do we draw the line between what an LLM is good for versus going back to just core data science stuff that has also been built up over the last several years.
Sure. Yeah. On the brand side, then, Dan, give me a little bit more information on how you all are specifically leveraging some of the tools when it comes to inventory as well.
Certainly. Well, with respect to how we're using AI today, if you're a marketing team of 1 or 2, maybe 3, AI can help in a number of ways. First and foremost, by injecting creativity into what you're doing. Eventually, you know, you're going to grow tired of you know, writing the same strain descriptions, the same email copy, the same types of imagery that you want to produce for social media platforms or for store menus. And AI can inject you know, maybe it can get you all the way there, or maybe it can get you 80% there by giving you 3 different options for how to say something or the way something should look. So with respect to, you know, the retail experience, we're using it to craft more varied and more distinctive strain descriptions for retail menus and figuring out what works and what's going to, you know, sound original when, you know, again, as a team of 1 or 2, you know, doing marketing, eventually your creativity runs dry. But using a large language model, you can really expand your knowledge base effectively.
Sure. Chris, within your organization, where do you see AI and LLMs kind of crap the bed? Am I allowed to say that? Sorry.
I think like with any new technology, I mean, I don't have the answer. We were doing a prep session. We all kind of agreed up here, like none of us have the complete answer, and you never will. I think any true expert in an emerging field is curious and leaning into ways that they can add value, you know, to what their core competencies are doing. And that's all we're trying to do now is just, you know, be respectful to the new technology, understand how it can add value, but also be cautious that it's not the answer, right? And I personally think that there's a lot of talk about AI taking people's jobs and things like that, but certainly it can help expand a team from one or two to multiple. But with any new emerging market, any new emerging technology, those who lean into it to figure out how they can add value to those that they serve, I think are going to ultimately do that. You know, so I don't know if like, you know, crapping the bed is something I'm super fearful of, right? But I just, we internally are just super respectful of the help that it can lend to us, but the expertise is the expertise, right? It's not a replacement of.
Totally. I mean, to build off that, I would say that, you know, AI is not replacing any position at this point within our company, or it hasn't added headcount effectively for us, but it's allowed us as a team of 1.5 marketers to, instead of, you know, going to a traditional Adobe program and building something from scratch, getting our 90-95% there in a fraction of the time, and then still applying the human element to that design to make it our own, to make it true and authentic to our brand. So there's still the human element involved, first in the curation of the content, and then in the final touches. So it's by no means replaced whole, you know, an entire, you know, the human element.
Sure.
Yeah, and I think that's where and it's funny, on the job replacing thing, I always think layering on cannabis. Every cannabis organization I know has maybe 30% fewer people than they need to do their jobs already, right? And so it's like, okay, so it saves 8 hours of work a week. Okay, so, you know, that person was already working 80-hour week, so now it's down to 72 hours for them to work. And that, so I actually think it's where it's interesting, but I agree, like, it's not a silver bullet. It's gonna let someone who is spending a huge amount of time do something spend less time doing that thing, but it's not like that person's already not working huge hours to begin with.
Sure. I know for us as a cannabis marketing agency, we look tirelessly at the competitive landscape. So we leverage tools like Placer AI, for example, which is looking at cell phone data, if you all aren't familiar. So every time you're like, yes, use my location, it's tracking. So we can tell with a particular dispensary, let's say, and their competitors. Once we enter them into the machine, we can take a peek and see where folks came from before they hit the dispensary and where they went after. Even more so to say, okay, of those who left the dispensary and went to a restaurant, which restaurant did they go to? That 90% of those folks went to McDonald's. Now we know where to place, for example, like a bus bench. So it helps us not only kind of shortcut on the operational efficiency, but it helps get your strategy even more fine-tuned, so that we're not looking at, okay, margins are razor thin, now let's throw all that we have for a budget on the wall and see what sticks. We want to be pretty leveraging it in a way that we can be pretty efficient with our spend. Can any of you speak to the competitive landscape, how you guys might be leveraging AI and LLMs?
I think we all can. We'll go left, yeah, right, as I'm looking at the room. But, you know, in some cases, we've been able to save clients significant amount of money, specifically in the guard space. So although I did say that, you know, AI may not replace jobs entirely, I mean, I don't know if anyone knows what that answer is, but there's a lot of facilities that have a guard spend that is just not accurate to the needs of that facility. And given the data that we can collect in leveraging and leaning into AI, in several cases, we've been able to trim the guard spend in two cases. One case was over $100,000 for one client, and in another case, it was over $200,000 annually. And so, I mean, that's significant cost savings. Those are very specific use cases, because in certain parts of the country, Oakland, California, for example, where we have a large footprint, you need armed guards is the answer, period. Because the cops are not coming for days. I was former OPD, and we would respond to burglaries a day and a half late, just because of lack of resources. In other parts of the country, in other parts of California, we are able to trim guard spend, because the purpose of that guard is really just observing and reporting, and we can do that with technology better, more cost effectively, more consistently than a guard can do it.
Yeah, I would say it all goes back to ROI, like Chris was saying, right? I am a little bit of a AI skeptic in some that, as someone who understands it pretty well, we're about to be hit with, if we're not already there, with a tsunami of what I would call AI vaporware, which is essentially fun AI use cases that look like they're producing correct information for something, but then when you really dig into it, they're not actually producing correct information, or the information that they're producing in whatever context is not actually leading to more sales. It could actually be leading to negative consumer experience, right? If all of a sudden the consumer is dealing with images that are AI generated without anyone monitoring them, that are all of a sudden not showing the product or something like that, right? And so on a competitive side, you know, I'm really keen on making sure that if we ever implement AI or data science in any way, shape, or form into our technology, it must be connected to an action that must produce incremental revenue for the retailer or incremental measurable cost savings. It cannot just simply be a like text regurgitation engine, right? Or it looks really cool and fancy in a demo, but like, is it actually helping? And I think as long as we're keeping laser focused on that, it should work, but I do think there's going to be a whole lot of noise around a whole lot of people producing AI for use cases that it just truly is not ready for yet. That's going to cause a whole lot of problems for a whole lot of people. So that's what I think.
Well, I'd say at this stage of the industry, and even state-specific mature industries like Washington, the consumer is still craving what's new. And as a brand, that means, you know, you're coming out with, in our case, between, you know, a dozen and maybe 30 SKUs, new SKUs in a year. And if you, as a small marketing outfit, are just going through the motions to produce content and descriptions to support those SKU releases, the consumer is not going to connect or identify with that content. If you can leverage an AI tool to inject a certain amount of creativity into your designs, new perspective, is it a cheat code? I mean, maybe, but you're still the one coming up with the inputs, and you're still the one deciding what works and what doesn't. So it's a cheat code in the way that using, you know, search was, a cheat in the 90s to navigate the internet. AI is just another tool that teams, especially small teams, can benefit from and act and produce in a much larger, more scaled way. And that's what we're doing.
Yeah. Well, and to that point, when we're talking about authenticity in particular, leveraging AI as an input or an additional set of hands, right, to kind of make things a little bit more efficient in operations, where do you see our industry kind of trip over authenticity, maybe in building a brand in particular, or going a little bit too generic to think that every consumer is my perfect customer?
Yeah, absolutely. Our industry does it all the time in terms of not having a real why behind either the product or the company. We're big Simon Sinek fans, start with why at Halo. And I think that, you know, most brands in the industry still skip right past that and get to, first and foremost, we need what's new. But what's new doesn't provide value to the consumer. Yes, that is typically what is selling now, but if you build a brand around always having whatever is new, then you aren't really building a brand. You're just being part of having what's new. So I'd say first and foremost, and this is kind of separate from the discussion around AI, but our industry misses the mark in terms of having a really strong why behind our brands. And I think that that's natural given just the state of, you know, how long we've been around as an industry and how much we've had to fight just to exist and resist persecution. But with respect to using AI, it can, you know, fly in the face of authenticity. So you still need, you know, to practice, effective judgment in deciding what content to bring to market. And my very simple advice for how to do that is to know your why and then stick to it as a brand, as a company.
Sure. And in understanding your business as well, every dispensary, even though we're challenged with the same set of complications, restrictions, regulations, razor-thin margins. If each organization really does have to understand their business, and beyond that, understand their business objectives, so that if you are building a strategy that builds backward into those objectives, we're actually trying to move the needle to achieve increased revenue or reduced risk or reduced cost, increased asset efficiency. So on that note, as far as specifically, can you speak to client needs that might vary from business to business, where you guys can kind of jump in and recognize those nuances and then serve in a larger way? Anyone?
Go for it. Well, I think what it really comes down to is understanding where they are spending their time. And with that understanding, we're tactically dropping in some kind of efficiency tool will work, right? And that's where with retailers, I do think like they spend a huge amount of time in the back rooms dealing with inventory. They spend a huge amount of time trying to figure out marketing content and stuff like that. And I think it's all about being tactical and specific and having the results of what you're trying to achieve already in mind. I love the, like, you have to have a why sort of perspective, right? Like that is huge, right? Like one thing they talk about a lot in AI is prompt engineering, right? Like the more specific you are in what you are looking to do, the better you're gonna have. The way that you're gonna do that is having a ton of like very specific, I have these inputs and I expect this output, can you do it for me type of thing. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, then take that one step further and implement that into a real world environment. So take this room, for example. You know, most people are entering through this door over here, and that's my observation, but is that real or is that not real, right? And so given the security requirements in cannabis that are already baked into what you have to do, you know, what's exciting about AI is really giving the client real data. And I'm learning from my fellow panelists of how to do that and what to look for, because I'm security centric. But again, we're already in the room. They trust us with the data in the form of video, and it's very real. It doesn't lie, right? So if we know that we want to push this product, or we want to move something over here, that, you know, the normal ingress and egress of this room comes in through the left, and here's, you know, real heat mapping of how long customers spend in this area of the room versus the water station, and, you know, what bud tenders might be taking longer than others at a POS station. I mean, it's really incredible. I'm learning a ton from these folks up here, because, you know, they're looking at it from a different angle than I am, but it's just incredibly exciting, because you can take all of the great comments from the panelists and our moderator and apply it to a real world situation, and you're already spending that money. You're already required to have the cameras, you're already required to store the data. You know, it's not a big heavy lift. And so, you know, what we're focused on internally right now is leaning into our clients and just like kind of giving it to them for free, so that we can learn very quickly, you know, how to add value to their current operations and ultimately either save them money or just provide a better customer experience, whatever the need may be.
And that tees up a really good point also why, like, structurally cannabis as an industry is much further along in its ability to leverage these technologies than classic CPG, right? Because of regulation, you have cameras, right? Because of regulation, you have personal data tracking, right? So I can feed the AI and say, hey, I know this marketing content's gonna go to female identifying versus male identifying.
How many of the inputs are already in place?
Because I already have it. I already have everyone's age. I can know I'm marketing to Gen Z versus not, right? The inventory, right, is literally like, if you don't have it correct, which that's a whole other thing, but if you don't have it, if you don't have it correct, right, like someone from the state's going to come around and be like, well, where'd all this go? Right.
Not only that, but when we were having a discussion prior, I thought it was really cool. One of the panelists was mentioning, you know, hey, the system says we need to push this product, and that product doesn't even exist because it was stolen.
Yeah.
Weeks,
yeah.
Right. A 5-finger discount or what have you. So, you know, object tracking, I mean, these are things that we just brought on an intern who's a computer science major from UC Berkeley with an emphasis in AI. And I'm just like, I'm a sponge around this kid, because, you know, the things that, when what he tells me is, hey, like, this stuff is easy, right? It's already there for you. I need to know optically, you know, how do you use it? What's an unsafe site look like? What does an empty shelf look like? What does theft look like? What is the precursors to theft? Things like that, you know? And so, especially in a retail space, I think are incredibly valuable.
That's actually we just, like, since our conversation, we just onboarded somebody who unfortunately is having a horrible theft problem. And one of the ways that it's happening is people are going into the POS and recoding products as promo products and then taking them out, right? That's a classic example of, like, I feel like in regular CPG, you wouldn't necessarily have to do that. You just pocket the product, right? But they, like, since the tracking exists, you have to have it in the POS in some way. So that's what they're doing. That is a wonderful use case of a text-based way that an AI can very simply be like, hey, like, the frequency of the amount of things that are called this thing is way out of whack. So trigger a set of events and type of stuff, and instead of forcing a GM to every day go through every single line and check to see. And it's like, and it's crazy, right? But it on one hand, it's sad. On the other hand, it's also like, at least they have the foundational data to be able to have a use case like this really easily. And that is what is exciting about cannabis that I think not a lot of people realize, is we can leapfrog classic industry with all these use cases because we already have the information.
Right.
Yeah. First of all, I just want to share that I'm learning so much from each of these panelists as well. Andrew, you made a point just now that I think is worth double clicking on. You talked about how, like, you know, well, the inputs that, you know, you give AI or an LLM matter. There's a learning curve to it. You know, if you are just getting started using any of these AI tools, much like crafting a decent Google search, you know, takes a little bit of thought. So does producing. You know, if your goal is to produce content, images, or copy, you will get better at it. You need to learn what to give the system as far as a prompt, as far as additional context, so that it can give you what you're looking for. So don't be discouraged if you are out there, you know, this evening, you know, submitting your first few queries. They will get better, and it will learn too, the way the systems work.
Or you could just ask, give me the top 10 queries when someone's looking at getting started with AI.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. That's a good place to start.
So what does the future hold then? I feel like we're really good at compliance. We're really good at identifying our issues, limitations. We're used to within this industry that, oh, but it's cannabis, and being, you know, an acceptance around being somewhat business immature when we have all these tools at our fingertips to really increase margins, make sure that we're growing the industry in the right direction with the right partners, with the right brands as well. Where do you guys think we're going next? Where do you think we're going next?
Well, what really excites me is the interconnectivity, availability of everything we're talking about. The ability to go from menu to consumer experience to store to image and merchandising in the store with cameras to back up the supply chain into distribution to cultivation. Like, literally all the pieces exist to do all of that. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, we have this, like, incredibly dire need in this industry to do it at, like, razor thin margins. Mm-hmm. On top of, let's be real, like, talent that just isn't coming from huge Fortune 500 analytics departments that have set up massive systems to do all of this, right? Like, you're talking to folks who may at the end of the day have associate's degrees or no degree, right? And that actually is where you combine all those things together, you can actually get a huge amount of wins in ROI quickly. Mm-hmm. From connecting these pieces in automation and helping that person basically do their job, the equivalent of, like, what 50 data scientists at Sephora have to do, because those 50 data scientists at the Sephora are not racing to automate away their jobs, right? Or something like that. But that, like, GM who's like 18 hours a day wants 6 hours back, right? And so I think that that's super, super, super exciting. What I would caveat is I'm so concerned about a wave of half-baked use cases, over-promising and under-delivering, and I do think that will get hit with a rebound of just a huge amount of skepticism about the technology in general, and then I think then it'll take time to cycle all that through, but I do think we're going to go through a period of excitement, disappointment, and then an understanding of what it can actually do for us.
Sure. In the near term, I don't know what that is, maybe a year, 2 years. I'm excited for a lot of cleanup to happen. And I'm answering this question from the perspective of brands and consumers, but cleanup with respect to retail menus, for instance. They're a mess, and AI could certainly support in, you know, identifying where listings are inaccurate. You know, we are constantly chasing our retail partners for, hey, you have, you know, a competitor's product listed, you know, in the image space of this on your menu here, or a totally inaccurate strain description, or just no strain descriptions. So I expect an AI product to assist in that realm here soon. Personalization of the either advertising marketing experience for customers in an authentic way, and on the, you know, creation side, ability to produce personalized content in a scalable way. So that's where my head goes in the near term. I'd be lying if I had any sense of where AI will take cannabis in the longer term, but and again, I'm only answering the question for with respect to, you know, a marketer's mind.
Sure. Chris?
Interconnectivity, to piggyback off of Andrew's comments. I mean, you know, we all know that we're heavily regulated. We have more hoops to jump through and hurdles and landmines to avoid than any other industry. You know, nobody at the Gap right now is tracking this pair of jeans, right? Or like super worried about it, or going to get fined if they don't, right? It is what it is. We live within it. It's what we have to deal with, but the interconnectivity of track and trace, POS systems, security, and how it all relates to whether it's retail or cultivation is incredibly exciting to me in the short term. I piggyback off the Daniel's comments. I would totally be lying to your face if I thought that I knew or I said that I knew where it might go beyond the short term, but just being curious and being respectful and leaning into how to solve a problem, you know, and back that up with real data, I think is what really excites me and our team.
Yeah.
I mean, it is the early days of the internet, right? Like it's 1992 all over again. So, and there will be good things that the internet produces and bad things. But if you're not using it in some form, you're going to fall behind. You will be a dinosaur. Is that day tomorrow? No, but it won't be long until it's, you know, required for every role in any, you know, organization.
Sure. Well, we spoke a bit about more so on the B2C side, but also when it comes to the B2B world as well. If you think about leveraging closed AI systems, so your data, information, IP is your own, but let's say you're onboarding clients into your world and you want them to have a finite amount of information and access without giving all of your trade secrets to the rest of the industry. So just to kind of keep in mind, we've been talking about the B2C side, but certainly leveraging it on the B2B also for operational efficiency as well. I want to open it up to questions. Yes. Do you need a mic? Do you want my mic?
So I've experienced many markets in the U.S. One of the most extreme in terms of the customer experience has been my transition from Ohio,
where most consumer interaction is with a screen. Mm-hmm. Most customers come in with the new adult use market and they're looking, you know, they're directed by somebody to look at a screen and just scroll through a menu. And I'm just like, I could have done this on my computer. So, you know, as somebody who's hungry for, you know, bud tender interaction in a this market where there is none, do you see an opportunity for AI to step in and create a personal experience?
Yes, if the information it's providing is correct. Which is a really big, like, I always tell people, I Googled yesterday when the full moon in January 2025 is, and it said it's Thursday, January 13th. January 13th is a Monday, right? And it's just little things like that. As long as it's correct, 100%. But if it's not correct, and that is a fine, it does not know. Like, you really need to be careful, personally. That's what I think.
Well, there's tools like Terply, if you're familiar with AI bud tenders, but if you, right, if you don't have the information, if the brands aren't providing the information and the descriptions, then what are you actually sourcing when it comes to offering a really personalized experience? So I think that comes back to the point where we're talking about the tools are there. You have to have a human to some extent kind of tweak them to make it work best for your business.
So that's like an opportunity for a brand to step up and say, here, I can stand out by somehow inserting our...
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense that a brand could fill that void in the interim and perhaps develop a sort of tool, whether it's AI based or not, for that retail, you know, screen experience.
The irony being that the brand that provides the most content is what the AI is most likely to reference going forward.
This is great conversation. I like to say that AI won't replace jobs, but it'll make jobs, roles within jobs, easier. And so it's not going to replace people. Nothing can replace that human interaction, to your point, I think. And that's always going to be a place in that. I think we as marketers have to recognize when the human role is important. The question I have for you is, what platforms are you using for your different functions? Is it just ChatGPT out of the box, or are there new platforms coming up that you can use that you could share with us?
Yeah, I can go first. That's a great question. It'd be a mistake if we didn't reference that. We're using the paid version of ChatGPT as a marketing team. We're also using Midjourney to produce photos and videos. We're just scraping, you know, the surface with, I know Google now has a Gemini tool, but that's more less on the marketing side and more on the operational efficiency as a small team.
We're integrated with the OpenAI API platform, so we leverage the GPT models with like fine-tuning stuff on the back end. We do some stuff with just like built-in stuff on the Google BigQuery side, and then we also have custom-built models for some of the more like math stuff, because you can't trust an LLM with that yet.
We're using some out-of-the-box, some open-source materials, and then an out-of-the-box solution called Lumana that's still new, and Lumana, and then some open-source materials as well. But what's just super cool about anything that we're using or touching is just watching it get smarter and more in tune to whatever our needs are. So now our focus is particularly on the retail side, given that, again, we're already in the room, it's our cameras, it's our data. How do we learn from the experts to understand what do people want? What information do they want? Because we can give it to them if I know the right questions to ask.
I would say for us as well, somewhat all of the above. We're digging a little bit more into generative engine optimization as well. So we know here are all the best practices for SEO. What are the best practices for GEO, right? Any other questions? I'm loving all the...
I have one over here. Thanks. So from a layman's perspective, like AI and LLM can feel really macro or generic. Like, I feel like I can sense when a resume was made with ChatGPT, for example. So it was really interesting to hear all of you speak to the really micro opportunities that you're currently working on, you know, heat maps for individual stores or an individual product recommendations for restock and brand launches. I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about how you see that in the future, opportunities to get really personalized and micro with the data inputs or the human involvement, I guess, for each individual kind of case, so that things don't seem the same across the board. Like, where do you see the opportunities for really digging in on an individual basis?
I think there's going to be a lot more tools that help laymen do fine-tuning tasks with models, or at least prompt engineering and context giving to models. That's going to be things like, you know, upload a PDF before you do a task, right? And it reads the information off the PDF, and then it gets a little bit more focused, or provide some more information, or give me your website, right? And stuff like that.
Piggybacking off that, it's all about context. I'd say, yeah, if these systems are going to allow for more context to produce better results. So in our case, if it's strain descriptions that we're looking to produce, it's going to have the library of strain descriptions already, so that it's not creating overlap, and then it's offering, you know, new and creative results.
Mm-hmm. or if we think back to the consumer as well, because the reason that we're all here is in service to the consumer. So if you think about, if you guys use Strava or any sort of exercise tracking apps, you run a mountain, you finish in a couple hours, and then if you look at, as the app is developing, you get some insights on, it looks like you could have done this a little better, or you might try this, or maybe you need sleep. So very, when you talk about personalized, as long as we, and we're beginning to be more and more open with, whether by choice, I'm not sure, with very personal information. So then if you think about the restrictions within the space, so we can't necessarily recommend based on health benefits, right, a particular product, but you know, if we're focused on the consumer, maybe there is an opportunity there to get really personal down to like, these are the products that work for me within the place that I'm able to access those products for these particular use cases at that particular time of the day.
I know we're at time, but I'm happy to step outside into the hallway and answer any more questions and hang with this group for a little longer.
Awesome.
I was also going to give a little bit of perspective on that question too, because one of the things that we've done in our company is someone, I'm the CEO of the company, we're a small, you know, rapid growth company, someone created a bot of me called Kimothy and fed it every interview I'd ever done, information about the authors that I cite because, you know, I have my business gurus and whatnot. And this bot, I mean, she's really smart. So if the team has a question about something, they actually go ask the bot first. And then they come to me and say, we asked Kimothy this question, here's what Kimothy said. And I'm like, yeah, Kimothy's absolutely right. And it's a way to get personal. It's a very personal bot, but it's trained by pretty much everything I've ever said publicly. So there's lots of really cool things you can do. And it, as to the points up here, it's been a great efficiency. So I just wanted to kick in a personal example too.
Yeah, thank you, thank you.
Awesome. That's it, thanks Jen and everybody, it was a great panel.
You've been listening to Cannabis Business Confidential by Hybrid Marketing Co. Tune in next time for more expert insights into the evolving cannabis industry.